Welcome inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly. A comedian, an actor, and a dog move from West Virginia across the country chasing big dreams. What could possibly go wrong?
We're going to try to fix the air conditioning today because there's a lot of rain in our forecast. You can't exactly ride with the windows down in the rain.
A little over a year ago, we brought you the stories of six people trying to navigate their lives in and out of Appalachia. The series, which just won a national award, by the way, was called The Struggle to Stay. Today, we'll have the latest from Mark Combs, an Iraq veteran and aspiring comedian.
Let's see, still single, still ugly, so, you know, I got that going for me.
Mark Combs decided he didn't want to struggle to stay, but rather he wanted to leave. So did the struggle end when he left? We'll find out.
Inside Appalachia is supported in part by the West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition, helping farmers share their food with your family every week at your local farmers market. Local market locations available at farmfreshwv.com.
Welcome inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly. The feelings people have about Appalachia, well, they're complicated, and we all have to determine where in this world we will exist. That's why West Virginia Public Broadcasting decided to explore those feelings, following six people for 6 months to a year to see whether they stay in Appalachia or pick up their roots and look for a new life. The series is called The Struggle to Stay. Mark Combs is a familiar face and voice to many of us here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. In 2009, Mark was featured in a documentary of ours about student veterans. During college, he worked with my colleagues in Morgantown on a project called The War in My Words, which collected stories of vets who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's even hosted and produced a documentary about veteran suicide we featured on Inside Appalachia. Mark is also one of the many West Virginians who has decided they have no choice but to leave the state. West Virginia Public Broadcasting reporter Glennis Board tracked Mark's journey as he made his decision to leave West Virginia and struggle to make a life for himself outside Appalachia.
In the summer of 2016, Mark Combs was cast in a professional production of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet in Morgantown, West Virginia. He was fresh out of college with a degree in fine arts. This was his first professional gig as an actor. This would be his last performance in his home state of West Virginia. And when we met up on closing night, he probably should have been nervous, or maybe on top of the world, but Mark had just received terrible news.
You know, I lost one of my best friends last night to suicide, and he was in the United States Army. He was in the infantry like I was.
The loss of his friend, Tyler Burroughs, is especially tragic because, you see, Mark, who is no stranger to suicidal thoughts, just dedicated the last year of his life to raising awareness about the ongoing epidemic of vet suicide in the United States. He even hosted and co-produced the West Virginia Public Broadcasting television special called Still Taking Casualties.
I want to put a face on these statistics. I personally have known over a dozen veterans who have killed themselves. I'm tired of picking up the phone and hearing about another buddy.
I mean, it's the first friend I've lost in a while, probably about 10 months to it. And it's tough. It never gets any easier.
Mark Combs grew up bouncing around geographically between southern West Virginia, North, and South Carolina. He lost his parents early. To follow in his grandfather's footsteps, he joined the service. But 15 months in Iraq left him with several traumatic brain injuries. These came because of exposure to blasts from improvised explosive devices, or IEDs. In 2009, he was discharged because of his injuries and diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Part of that disorder means he copes with recurring nightmares about being back in the war.
In the beginning, it was nothing but firefights and rocket attacks and mortar attacks and seeing IEDs blow up my friends and IEDs hitting me. But they progressed. In my mind, I was really thinking about certain things, you know, the aspects of really taking another human being's life. And it really started to bother me, because that was one thing that I was known for. That was like, everybody knew who I was in the battalion because I did that. And I did it more than anybody else. My dreams became just having to watch those people die over and over and over again. And that's pretty much what it is even to this day.
During his college career, Mark discovered a powerful new coping mechanism that changed the course of his life and was the driving force in his struggle to stay.
Honestly, theater saved my life. I hadn't been passionate about anything since being out of the Army, and I was still just kind of wandering around and just, you know, dragging my feet. But I finally found something that I love to do, and I mean, it was very therapeutic, and to get to do the things that you do on stage, and it's this beautiful art form. And it did, it pulled me out from underneath a rock.
After the final performance of Romeo and Juliet, while his castmates celebrated in the lobby, Mark and I sat down in the now empty theater.
It may have actually been the most difficult performance I've ever done. You know, there's a couple times I stepped into the wings and just kind of cried because I almost didn't want to be out there. But, you know, there's that saying, the show must go on. And, you know, I know if it had been somebody else and my buddy Tyler was here, he would have been there consoling me, but he also would have told me, you know, go do what you got to do. And, I mean, it's basically all I could hear in my head all night. Got a funeral to go to this week. And then try to continue to work, save up a little bit more money before leaving for California at the end of August.
After a few years of weighing his options, Mark decided West Virginia didn't have a healthy enough economy that would allow him to survive and thrive pursuing a career in the arts.
I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I will never. I mean, if I have to like work a job, you know, at a bar or anything like that to help support, you know, get me from one job in the theater to the next acting job, yeah, I'll do that. But I can't imagine pursuing any other career ever.
Many of his theater friends moved either to New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles to chase their theatrical dreams. Mark wanted to escape cold winters, so he decided it was California or bust.
West Virginia is a really depressing place when you really get to think about it, especially, you know, if you're a young person who is looking to start a career.
Mark partially blames political leaders for not creating more economic opportunities for young people.
And the more you see in the news, it's like they're trying to make it worse. State government passes these bills that it's like they don't care about us. They care about coal and oil and gas, which are just robbing us blind and, you know, destroying the environment. And it just seems to me like they don't care about the younger generations or the generations to come. I mean, I'd love to be able to stay here. I do love this state, and, you know, the people are great. but it's just dying. And, you know, if you want to succeed, you got to leave.
A few nights before leaving, his apartment is stripped. He's all packed.
It is a little scary. There is a definite feeling of fear that I'm leaving my home and the things that I've grown used to. But there's really nothing for me to do here. So I kind of really have to leave here. It's like, I don't know what will happen in California, but I know what will happen if I stay here. And one is definitely more terrifying than the other. Three days from now, I'll be halfway across the country.
So, Mark set out with a car full of California dreams and expectations that were, well, destined to be smashed to pieces.
You're listening to Inside Appalachia. We'll hear more of Mark's story in just a minute.
Support for Inside Appalachia is provided by Concord University in Athens, West Virginia. With career-focused liberal arts education in more than 80 degrees and programs to pursue various career options, not just a single job. More at concord.edu. Inside Appalachia is supported in part by the West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition, helping West Virginia farmers markets provide food harvested that morning and brought to you fresh from the farm. Local market locations available at farmfreshwv.com.
We've been listening to Mark Combs' struggle to stay story. We just listened to Mark decide that he didn't want to struggle in West Virginia any longer. Let's jump back into the show to find out if Mark escapes the struggle and gets the big break he's looking for when he arrives in California.
We've just made our first stop on our trip. We are in London, Ohio, just west of Columbus at a Speedway gas station. I'm feeling really positive about the trip. We started out very, very strong this morning. We're still going strong. Just yesterday was the anniversary of Tupac Shakur dying. And so it was kind of fitting this morning to start the day with California Love. California Love.
No, but just hold on. Wait a second. Before we get too far into this road trip, Mark is not going alone. He has his border collie, Lily, and a cat named Terror Czar, or TC for short. And to get across the country, he's also joining forces with another young West Virginian.
Cameron Elias Williams. Elias is like my stage name for like my hip-hop music, by the way. So if you ever want to look me up.
Cameron is a dancer, rapper, writer, and like Mark, a comedian. They met in theater school and have been close friends ever since. Together, they've been planning this move west with similar ambitions.
Well, I love West Virginia. You know, it's always going to be another home for me. But for the arts, there's not a whole lot here.
I mean, if you're going to want to expand your art and, like, your audience, you've got to leave.
Cameron and Mark were encouraged to move to Los Angeles by several college theater friends, both in West Virginia and some who'd already moved to California and loved it out there. Mark and Cameron definitely wanted to move somewhere where they'd have some kind of social network to help them get started, and they also wanted to escape cold winters. They saved money and shed most of their belongings, talked to some friends about what to expect, but there really wasn't much more to their planning than that.
We don't have a house lined up.
We don't have jobs lined up.
We don't have jobs lined up. So we're kind of just, we're going to go out there. We have some people we could crash with for, you know, a few days until we find our own spot. And then once that happens, we'll move all of our stuff in and then just going to hit the ground running.
But I don't think we'll run out of money. I mean, I don't foresee it being an issue.
From a living room in West Virginia, Mark and Cameron saw all these opportunities and resources just waiting for them outside of the state.
We're driving a later model Ford Explorer XLT. It is absolutely packed to the brim. There is like a 2-inch high by 6-inch wide gap that you can see out the back window. Day two. I am standing outside of an Econo Lodge in Kansas City, Missouri. We're going to try to fix the air conditioning today because there's a lot of rain in our forecast and you can't exactly ride with the windows down in the rain. It is day three. We've already conquered 1,736 miles.
Now here we are in New Mexico. Oof. I don't think I've ever spent this much time in a car.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
We'll be in LA tomorrow evening. Home sweet home. The new one anyway.
Mark and Cameron didn't record for a few very busy days once they made it to LA. And then we heard from them again.
So I am homeless, jobless, with $10 accessible to my name on the complete opposite side of the country. I don't really regret the situation that I'm in. I mean, I knew it was going to be hard. I knew it was going to be tough. I'm just, you know, really hoping that we get a break. So we spent a lot of time on Sunday applying to jobs and going to different places. We went to the Glendale Galleria, which is a very big mall in Glendale. It's actually where I'm at right now. We have a job interview with Ralph Lauren. And we're going to... Cameron was up first, and I'm sitting in the car with the animals. We had to repack our thing because we only had enough money to get a hotel room until this morning. I don't know what we're going to do tonight.
No one wanted to rent to them because they didn't have jobs. And they were having a hard time securing a job, in part because they couldn't prove that they were local residents. Anyway, they ended up at a sketchy hotel that night, but they didn't stay there long.
So it's Tuesday afternoon. We've been here for 4 days. It is incredibly frustrating. It is so frustrating. You know, everybody you talk to is like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of places over here to rent. There's a bunch of places over there to rent. But there's really not. And Cameron and I really aren't trying to live outside of our means. You know, it's not like we're going after like high-end places. We're going for places that are decent rent for what we would make money-wise. But it is damn near impossible to find a place. If we do find a place, it is in a place that the crime rate is so high that probably within the first week, one of us is going to be robbed and the other one's going to be shot. If it's not something like that, you know, they don't allow dogs. I think it's beginning to wear on the both of us. We're still holding out hope for us to be able to find a place, and I think we will. But we may have to retreat out of the city some.
By the end of the week, things were getting kind of desperate. Yes, they had friends who lived in the area, but it wasn't as strong of a social safety net as they thought it might be. I heard from Mark again when he was at this gas station near the edge of the city limits on a very windy day. There were wildfires nearby and a lot of smoke in the air. He and Cameron were looking for apartments further and further away from town.
We were running out of resources. We were running out of time. We had friends here in LA, but we basically are either being prevented from staying with them because of pet policies or them being out of town. Lily's not a big dog. She's like 35 to 40 pounds, depending, you know, on what time of the year it is. If I owned a place, I would rather have a dog Lily size living in there than one of those little ankle biters. but you can't tell him anything. All right, well, I guess we're going to keep on moving. All right, bye.
After just 1 week in L.A., Mark and Cameron had to move on. They knew they would run out of resources completely if they didn't do something. Still, they decided returning to West Virginia was not an option. So where could they go?
Surprise! We're in Denver. Mile High City.
Life's full of surprises.
Basically, Los Angeles didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out this time around. We're, we're gonna reposition ourselves and come back stronger and better, I guess you could say.
Right.
Mark and Cameron got to California in September and left 7 days later. Several grand poorer.
You know what? I don't really think it really crossed our minds that, yeah, Cameron and I weren't necessarily, rolling in the money in West Virginia, but we weren't doing bad. But that still meant we were poor as f*** on L.A. standards.
A guy coming to the store today, and he was from L.A., and he was talking about one of his friends that pays $2,500 for a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, and I can guarantee you that house didn't come with a damn refrigerator, because L.A. is just weird like that, and they don't provide fridges for their tenants, and you have to supply your own, which is just, it's weird. It's ridiculous.
Cameron and Mark basically pulled Denver out of a hat. They arrived there without much of a plan, much as they did in Los Angeles. But this time, they chose a city where it's not as expensive to live. Instead of $1,600 to $2,000 rent per month, they're looking at $1,200 to $1,500. And unlike L.A., the rental market was far less competitive.
Well, we just found out that we were approved for a place. Thank God. We finally found a place. It was beginning to be soul-crushing.
It's going to take a couple months to rebuild, not as long as LA, because it was just so expensive out there for rent and whatnot. But rent is a lot more feasible here. And, gas is pretty cheap. Food isn't expensive.
It feels good knowing that we won't be living in a hotel for very much longer.
Yeah. Living out of our bags.
Well, not that we have much more than what's in our bags.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
They both were able to start working at a pizza place almost as soon as they arrived. That and some loans from friends and relatives got them started. But they didn't have any family in Denver. Not a lot of friends, either. So, in the coming weeks and months, loneliness set in. It weighed them down and ate away at their motivation to follow their entertainment dreams. Mark recorded an update again 2 months later in late November.
So, it's Saturday. Just kind of doing some cleaning around the house. Thanksgiving was just a couple days ago. I don't think either of us, it had really hit us as hard as it did maybe like in the days leading up to Thanksgiving. Just kind of how alone and tired we are. It's been kind of tough, to be honest. I didn't think I would miss people back home this much, and
We were talking on Thanksgiving morning about how just a little over 2 months ago, we were on a collision course with becoming homeless. This Thanksgiving, we were just really thankful to have a home and to not be sleeping on the ground in our home anymore, and the fact that we have a couch.
Mark and Cameron did make plans to create a new theater company in Denver. They even talked to friends back home who were really interested in coming to join them, which was encouraging. But unfortunately, it just didn't stick. The day-to-day scramble to stay afloat financially took its toll.
By the time we got here, we were so far behind, owed so many people money, that we just had to constantly work. We couldn't take any jobs that allowed us any time off to be able to go and explore those routes of auditioning for different shows or going and doing stand-up.
I'm an artist. If I'm not creating something, you know, I start to just get really, really on edge and anxious, and I gotta have outlets to, you know, express myself. It's like a form of therapy for me, you know, so.
Not getting to be creative led to some depression. Depression made keeping a job a harder task. Cameron went from delivering pizzas to selling phones. Mark went through several jobs over the course of a few months. Pizza, UPS, a solar startup, a deli. And none of it really provided a living wage.
I have $9 on a credit card. Cameron has a maxed out credit card and one debit card that's in the red and another that's got a zero balance.
It would be nice to report that things got better or easier, that Mark and Cameron find their footing, but that's not what happens next. Not yet. First, things had to get worse. When I caught up again with Mark, he told me their furniture was being reclaimed, they were facing possible eviction, and life handed him another blow. Mark, an Iraqi war veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder, who is no stranger to suicidal thoughts himself, who spent all of the previous year working on media campaigns to bring more awareness about the epidemic of veteran suicide and resources to those vets struggling with suicidal thoughts. Mark has personally lost one war buddy after another. Well, Mark got word this spring he'd lost another brother.
Yeah, he was a Navy corpsman. Medics. He was attached to the Marines, so he was like a Marine medic for the Marine Corps.
Dan Alexander was a close friend of Mark's in Morgantown, West Virginia. When we spoke on the phone, he'd just gotten news of Dan's passing.
I don't know if I could take another suicide. I just, It's beginning to wear me out.
Death was determined to be a heroin overdose. This is the second veteran buddy he's lost this year, and it wouldn't be the last.
I mean, I feel like I've been at the bottom of the barrel for so long, like, that I have a keen understanding of what that means, and that it's really not necessary. Like, people shouldn't have to struggle.
Mark and Cameron did lose their furniture, but they were able to borrow some money for rent to avoid being evicted.
There's this constant feeling that, like we just keep failing. Like, we try and try and we just fail and fail.
Look, it may seem like these guys set themselves up for failure in California, not preparing enough, not having the resources to get them where they wanted to be. But in some ways, they were more prepared than most. Mark and Cameron had each other. And a good friendship is a powerful thing.
It sucks because I have nobody here other than Cameron. Like, Cameron, you know, I don't know what I'd do without him.
He's one of the strongest dudes I know. You know, physically and just mentally, he's been through a lot in life. You know, not just since I've known him, far before that, but anytime he gets knocked down, he gets back up and just starts swinging harder. So, you know, I always know he's going to be all right.
Eventually, Cameron and Mark decided that Denver was not the right place for them. Still, returning to Appalachia was not an option.
West Virginia and Colorado have so much in common. The difference is Colorado is working towards the future, and West Virginia is fighting tooth and nail, clinging to the past. Like, I mean, we are about as down and out as you can go, but in no way in my mind am I like, yeah, I'm ready to go back. No.
Hard times and isolation from friends and family forced both Cameron and Mark to reevaluate some life goals.
You know, this whole experience of taking a leap of faith, driving all the way to Cali, kind of falling flat on our face, having to backtrack, come here, and then once again, kind of getting smacked in the face by life. You know, it's been a very eye-opening experience. And before, I used to think, like, yeah, I just want to, you know, I want to make it big. I want to make millions of dollars. I mean, that's still the end goal, you know? Shoot for the stars, as he always teaches, but it's not important to me. You know, it's just a perk of it all. I mean, what's really important to me is my friends, my family, and just really living a life that my parents raised me to live and being the person that they raised me to be. You know, and money's not involved in that at all.
I think we were already beginning to question what we were doing here, because everything was just falling apart and nothing really seemed to be working in our favor.
Together, they decided that when their year lease is up this October, they'll move on to Chicago, where Cameron has family and they both have more friends. And even though Mark is determined not to return to Appalachia, his thoughts keep drifting back to West Virginia.
Like, I see the people of West Virginia, I see their struggle, and you know, there's more that can be done right now, and there's a whole hell of a lot more to focus on than just trying to bring coal mines back.
After being in Denver for half a year, Mark started to joke about going back to school, this time law school, so that he could more effectively take on certain politicians. But it sounds less and less like a joke these days.
Ultimately, what I want to focus on would be public interest law to help fight to protect our environment, our people, and give the next generation the best fighting chance that they have. Somebody's got to. I've contacted a couple different law schools and talked to them about their programs, and now I'm just, you know, looking at what else I need to do, like taking the LSAT.
He still wants to go to Chicago, but he's adapting his dreams of thriving in the entertainment industry to maybe include more schooling.
WVU, of course, is going to be my number one. And, you know, it'd be nice to be back around people that I grew so attached to. Who knows where this journey is going to end up.
Cameron wants to continue to focus on developing a career in the music industry. He's working on his master's degree. He also really wants to be closer to his family, some of whom live in the Chicago area.
You know, I'm an open book with blank pages. waiting for words to be written down to finish this story. I have no idea what's next, but I'm excited for it. Whatever the future holds, I'm ready.
The next chapter looks like it will be in Chicago. It looks like it will include more friends and family, and it looks like it might have some funny in it.
Being here in Colorado and being on this trip and just so much stuff going wrong and the depression that's followed has provided both Cameron and I with just a ton of resource material for stand-up comedy. So, I mean, it'll be a great outlet.
We caught up again with Mark and Cameron about 6 months after they both left Denver. Mark is living in Chicago. Cameron wound up back in West Virginia.
You know, West Virginia is home for me. You know, how is my life different now? It's kind of back to, almost back to what it was before I left for California, you know. Still doing the dance stuff, still teaching there, still on the dance team. Try to do stand-up when I can. It's just very rare now. They only do one show a month. You know, just trying to stay focused on getting my money right and then getting back out.
Cameron is finishing up his master's in music industry. He says he feels well prepared to use the degree. That's his goal. He hasn't said where he wants to move next, but he doesn't see himself staying in West Virginia.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed in the state because they could be doing a lot more. You know, but like I said, it's home for now. I've always had a special place in my heart, but eventually I gotta get back out and leave the good old hills of West Virginia.
Meanwhile, Mark is doing pretty well.
Things are better here than they were in Denver. Let's see, still single, still ugly. So, you know, I got that going for me.
Mark is living with another West Virginian, another acting grad who went through West Virginia University, also a comedian. In fact, Mark is now part of a community of WVU theater grads living in Chicago. He says he still misses West Virginia.
Yeah, you just miss the people and pepperoni rolls, Tudor's biscuits, you know, stuff like that.
But he's keeping himself busy. He takes odd theater jobs regularly, and he says he's slowly building a name for himself in Chicago as an actor, writer, and comedian. He works now and then at a comedy theater called Second City, which is a place of mythical lore for comedians like Mark. It was the training ground for his comedic heroes like John Belushi and Bill Murray. Mark is working on a variety of creative projects with friends, and he was just cast in a television pilot this summer. He even landed a role in a cartoon, which is something he loves. You just have to hear this piece of his voice reel.
You fool! The power contained within these orbs is enough to turn one into a living god. All I have to do now is kill you and take back what is rightfully mine.
You know, Mark seems pretty happy, especially compared to times we heard from him in Colorado.
Oh, I recently did something that was pretty incredible. Since like the 1980s, there's been fewer than 300 people to have closed the Captains of Crush number 3 hand gripper, which takes like 275 pounds or more, I think, per square inch to close it with your grip. I did that. Been working on that for a couple years as a joke to Cameron. I know what you're probably thinking, like, you really dedicated 2 years of your life to do something that near impossible to make someone laugh. Yes, I did.
It's also important to note that Mark has also enjoyed a months-long reprieve from any news of Army friends killing themselves.
No one's killed themselves in a while, so that's good. That's real good.
Mark is not planning on returning to West Virginia anytime soon. He still doesn't see enough opportunity for professionals who want to work in arts or entertainment, and he's still frustrated with the political status quo and a general lack of what he calls visionary leadership. But it's worth noting that he has surrounded himself with a community of West Virginians in Chicago. Maybe it's just expedience or circumstance that led to this reality. I mean, do people make a place? Does a place shape its people? Either way, Mark's story shows how much the Mountain State can shape the lives of the people who live here, no matter where they end up. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Glynis Board. We've been listening to Mark Combs' Struggle to Stay story as part of our ongoing series, and now we've invited the reporter who helped to cover his story, Glynis Board, onto the show to talk about the project. Hey, Glynis.
Hi, Jessica.
Glynis, you helped Mark tell his story, but you already knew him before you started recording. What was it about Mark that made you select him? Why was he a good fit for this project?
Well, he was the first person that came to my mind when we started, when this project idea came up, but when I asked him what his plans were, he said he was definitely leaving. And so at first I thought, okay, that disqualifies him. But then I realized that, you know, actually there's a whole group of people that are making the same decision to leave. I mean, that's the reason that we're focused on this issue and this story and this project at all. And also his story really resonates with me. You know, I was also interested in theater as when I was going through college and things like that. But the biggest thing was he was going to go on a journey. He was going to go on an adventure. And this was an opportunity to follow somebody who was taking a big risk. And I thought that would be compelling and interesting.
And you mentioned before that his story resonated with you. You're from West Virginia. Have you ever thought about moving away?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I absolutely have. And I think watching Mark like make that decision and the taking the risk to set off across the country and to pursue this career in the arts, it did make me want to live a little vicariously through him. And probably deep down, I've always been rooting for him because, you know, it was something that I wanted to do too years ago.
Mark was dealing with some really heavy stuff during this time that we heard from him. He lost a friend to suicide, another to heroin overdose, but we also hear some really funny moments from Mark throughout the series, too. How do you navigate these sensitive subjects while ultimately trying to keep the audience interested? It seems tough.
Basically, there's just a lot of trust between the two of us, and he was just always very generous with me and very patient with me, because I don't even know how to ask some of these questions. Tell me how it feels to find out that your friend, your best friend, just died, you know, like it's a question you don't want to have to ask anybody. But one of the beautiful things about Mark and about his story is that so often he turns to comedy to cope. It's not that he makes light of it, but he just finds a way to sort of use comedy as a release valve emotionally. And I personally appreciate that, because it's something that I think takes a lot of strength and courage. And it's a nice way to cope with life. Sometimes all you can do is laugh, you know?
Well, Glynis Board, reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting, we've been talking with about the Struggle to Stay series. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
We've been listening to Mark Combs' Struggle to Stay story as part of our ongoing series. A musical play that recently premiered at Theater West Virginia in Raleigh County shares a few fictional stories of people who have stayed in a rural trailer park while others have moved on.
The play is an adaptation of Paradise Park, the motion picture, which came out in 1991 and starred Larry Gross, the host and artistic director of Mountain Stage. Larry wrote all the songs to the new production. Larry and I recently talked about the connections between the music and the play to our unique culture. What are some of the differences between the movie and the play for folks who might remember the movie?
Well, the plot is the same, and most of the characters are the same. Some have been changed a little bit, and some have been dropped. But the plot still turns around an elderly woman in a trailer park in southern West Virginia who has a vision that God has come to her and told her that he's going to come to the trailer park and grant everybody a wish. And so then you see the next 24 hours of what happens. That is the same thing in the play and in the movie. It's different, though, in the play because of the songs. In the movie, there were a couple of musical numbers, but it was not a musical by any means.
Can you share one of the specific parts replaced with a song?
At the beginning, when the woman tells people that about her vision, they're doubtful, and some of them are skeptical, and there's a preacher who says, oh, that's blasphemous to talk about talking to God and God's coming. And right in the middle of all that, someone says, he's here. And they go, God? And they say, no, it's the damn governor. And the governor is visiting the trailer park to try to sell one of his new plans for prosperity. So they give him a real hard time, the people. He's there with an aide, and they ask him questions and challenge him. And instead of going back and forth with a bunch of questions and answers, what happens is the governor sings a song. And the song kind of turns it around to the people, saying, you think that our problems here in West Virginia are my fault. Well, what would you do if you were in my place? And the name of the song is Plates on a Stick, because the governor makes a comment like, my job is kind of like the guy in the circus with the plates on a stick spinning. I got to keep them all spinning. Meanwhile, I'm trying to please everybody and fix everything. And how would you do this?
I got plates on a stick, they're just a spinning. I got to fight to save this state, and I'm not winning. My constituents are here, and they ain't grinning. When you get elected, that's just the beginning. I get a long list of gimmies every morning. A bunch of troughs I'm supposed to pour the corn in. And the backstabbings come without a warning. Sometimes I curse the place that I was born in. You think this job is easy? Why don't you try it? Go make a plan, see if anyone will buy it. It's like telling some fat guy go on a diet. Say one wrong word and you can start a riot.
What song has the most meaning to you think, when you were writing this music? Which one really do you think connected with you?
Oh, there's a few. The governor's song connected with me, but in the second hour, the song about war connected with me, because I've never heard a song quite like this. It's it talks about the fact that people make fun of us, that is, i.e., hillbillies, rural people. They look down on us until there's a war, and then they look at us differently.
There's always another war. The fighting never ends. Before the last war is over, a brand new war begins. Those who look down their nose and whisper behind our backs, now send us to the front line to fend off the new attacks. We're the first ones called. The going gets rotten. First to fall and the first forgotten.
Do you think it leaves any kind of room for that kind of negative interpretation that people might be a little hesitant to sort of jump on board with it? And if so, what do you say to those folks?
I hope there's some controversy. Otherwise, it wouldn't be realistic. It's not a propaganda piece. It doesn't take a side. It doesn't say we're right and you're wrong. There's blame to go around with a lot of people, and there's also credit to go around with a lot of people. I think it explores. It's not a simple thing here, and nobody has simple answers. No one ever has, and I don't think they ever will. So I think there'll be people that wonder whatever. It's like anything that makes a statement. If you make a statement of any kind, somebody will challenge you. Somebody will agree with you.
And while this is a fictional story, what do you hope the audience learns about our culture, West Virginia culture, by watching this play?
What I hope comes across is that we have our differences and we have a lot of challenges that I think everybody's familiar with, from the wage earning and the economy to the temptation to leave and find someplace better. To arguing amongst each other about how come somebody does this and that. But when the things get difficult and the crisis comes, everybody in the park pulls together. And in the end, you, as a viewer, have to decide yourself, did God come to the trailer park or not?
Larry Gross, host and artistic director of Mountain Stage, talking about his latest project as the writer of the music of Paradise Park, the musical. Larry, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We haven't forgotten about you, Mark, nor that 20 veterans take their own lives every day. The reality rings especially true this holiday weekend. As we remember the men and women who lost their lives on the battlefield, I hope we can remember that the battle or struggle so many are fighting right here at home isn't physical. It's nice to know that people have your back. And what I've found in West Virginia is that even when your closest loved ones betray you and make you doubt yourself, perfect strangers are willing to lift you up. Like Larry said, we have our problems here. Yes, there are plenty of struggles to go around, but there's also someone to encourage you to keep on hoping and perhaps wishing for the life you want and the desires of your heart. We heard from a lot of you about this series. Many of you shared your own struggle to stay stories with us, and we even got some criticism for not including more perspectives. Thanks for taking the time to reach out. Some of you urged us to remember some of the unique benefits to living here in West Virginia versus, say, Hawaii. Yeah, for one woman, the affordability of land and housing means owning a place to live here. We recently got a message from Aaron Piles, and I think it just might be my favorite. It's a little long for radio, but hang with me. Here's what she wrote. A few years ago, I was living in Nashville, and my friend asked me if I would ever return to West Virginia. I told her no. I told her that place had nothing for me. And she challenged me. She said, if all the young, creative, intelligent people keep leaving, then the state has no hope. That thought simmered inside of my brain for a couple of years. I began to realize I was looking at my life backwards, selfish even. The struggle isn't about what a place can offer me as much as it's about what I can offer a place. During those years of pondering, I also found and was touched by your Struggle to Stay series. I've recently moved back to West Virginia. My friend was right. I can't say I'm particularly creative or exceptionally intelligent, but I'm here, and I think that's important. The state needs more people who are simply committed to being here and offering whatever it is they have to offer. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for inspiring me to return. Aaron, welcome home. Until next week, thanks for joining me as we journey throughout Appalachia. Music in today's show was provided by Ben Townsend, Dylan Moses McGonigal, Little Sparrow, and Marisa Anderson. Glynis Board produced this show. Ibby Caputo and Jesse Wright were our editors. I'm Jessica Lilly. Inside Appalachia is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting.